This is Glenda. Welcome to the Blessings of Christ. And I hope you're having a day as beautiful as what we're having here. It's not just the way we feel, it's also the weather is just gorgeous. We are so blessed to have an early spring. And right now we are sitting into the transition on the summer side of the spring equinox, which was yesterday. This is the day, or right now, the few days that we call the equinox. The balance between the days, light and dark, and summer and spring, and winter and spring, so that we focus on the transition more than the season itself. Almost always there's a little wind that goes along with this. It has a lot to do with the electromagnetic forces that govern our weather and our planetary position. They're shuffling around and getting us ready to move in another direction. I think that's a great opening to some things we're going to talk about today. But before we get into that subject of today, I want to make a couple of announcements. One that is most pertinent to our day is that we are completing the Keys of Yeshua today with this study time together. And we will be moving on in the Sundays in the future. We will continue our study time because it seems like everybody really, really loves it. The next 2 weeks will be focused more upon our Christian celebrations of Palm Sunday, which will be next week, and then Easter the week after that. Following in the coming weeks, at least moving towards summer until we decide to declare another continuous opportunity for study, we will be considering topics, your topics, what you would like to talk about. So what I would like you to do, in addition to writing me about the blessings you need, add a little tag on there, like if you could just study about one topic related to, of course, what we study, what would it be? What would be your favorite topic to concentrate on? And then I'll take in the many suggestions we get and come up with some ideas about what topic comes next. So we can actually have a little bit of topical progress in our study time that relates to what you would like us to do, or you plus others who voice their desires, and we consider that, and I'll prepare something that comes from the different combination of messages from Yeshua, or possibly even from the apostles in the New Testament. I'll collect presentation material from all our different sources, and we'll come up with some ideas to discuss and teachings from him that we need to learn. So that's how we're going to progress from this point on. And today we're going to enjoy together the last teaching that was published in the Keys of Yeshua. Now, there's one more practical thing I need to let you know. This is based upon emails I have received from those in our community that have been wanting to make a contribution. They go to Spiritus Church, which is spiritus.org, and they find that there's a post saying this is not a safe site. Well, it is. We have our securities certificate in place, but we have been having difficulties with our host company for 4 months. and they have been having difficulty that they don't understand for 4 months. So we've decided just to change our host company. It will be fine as of next week, and I'll let you know. We do so much depend upon your contributions. Without them, we literally cannot expand. And, you know, this is not about us begging for funds. It's about realizing that we're only as big as our team will expand and help us expand. Every worthy movement in the history of the world, going back to Yeshua, do you think his crucifixion and resurrection would have been enough to accomplish what he did without the apostles contributing their life, their resources, their dedication, their understanding to other churches who had church leaders who did the same thing? And then there were more church leaders expanding around the world. We cannot expand without a team. Now, I'll keep doing this for the rest of my life because it's my joy, my pleasure. And when I even think about preparing for a Sunday service, I am bathed in gratitude for this opportunity. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else with my life. And I tell you that. But one person can only do so much. And I would love to have some help. One of my great challenges in the last 5 years has been working with actually usually only one other person. And recently, in the last 6 months, only myself. I'm doing everything. Of course, I have Nancy for her generous time and support for our Sunday calls. And I would like to have help from anyone that wants to be part of us. But if you can't do that, think about making a contribution with your pocketbook, because we can use that to acquire assistance and support and facilitation for expanding what we do. So we're going to get everything set up where it's easier for you. And Nancy has really asked me if she can use our communication service to send out a few messages to you, because she's kind of got a fire in her heart about this also. She knows what it means to her family, and her community to have this outreach. It gives us a human, practical touch for how we use these sacred teachings that came to us from the Lord of Life, who came here to be with us, protect us, lift us up, and move us forward. And look what he did, just him. But look also at what the apostles did, what all the branches of the church did through the ages. It changed the world. It changed the world, and I personally wouldn't want to be in this world right now without him. I wouldn't. One thing I would recommend to all of you, just as a stress buster, is to have Christ sense in your house. Maybe a little touch of it behind your ears, or where you can get a whiff of it easily. Maybe on your wrist to guide your hand movements through the day. It's a blessing indescribable. And if you don't have a place for a print or a G-Clay, or you want something just a little more private, maybe you can download a picture for your phone and have it on your phone. Just switch on and say, "Hello, my Lord. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for helping me through the day." And express your gratitude to him. There's something so amazing about the energy of gratitude. A, it's contagious. You express gratitude about one thing, and you find a dozen more things to be grateful for, and that leads to 100 more things to be grateful for, I mean, it's really contagious. And then other people get the contagion and they're grateful to you. How's that for how it works? It's the most beautiful contagion in the world. And I think I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago when we were talking about, no, it was maybe 4 or 5 Sundays ago. We were talking about better ways to pray. And I mentioned something that I learned in just scanning through and surveying the miracles that he performed that are recorded in the New Testament. And one of the things he did before every miracle is he thanked God. He expressed his gratitude to his Father before the miracle was completed, before the miracle had its effect. Gratitude. Now, why would the Son of God, who has everything at his hands, at his finger touch, thank God in advance of a miracle that would happen? Well, first of all, it was his way of disengaging from it. He stepped back because he knew this blessing for another had to come from God. It had to come from his Father. He stepped back and gave thanks. The other reason is that if he waited till after the miracle was done to give thanks, then he had made it a transactional thing. He asked for something, it was given, and he said, thank you. That's transactional, my friends. He gave thanks as an act of faith, as an act of surrender, that without you, Father, O Lord of creation, this could not be done. Thank you. And I give to you the request of your beloved child. In other words, it was into the spirit of gratitude that he performed every miracle. When, you know, we should think of it, well, why wouldn't he just do it? Okay, he would never take anything he did unto his vanity. Never take anything he did unto his vanity. Okay, and I'm going to give you a little prelude to something we're going to talk about on Easter Sunday. It was his assigned job to come here to this earth and teach humans about their transcendent possibility, that their soul is eternal, to redeem their souls, that your soul is immortal. Now, he could have gone out and just demonstrated that. Instead of walking on water, he could have just disappeared and appeared on the ship and say, see, I just traveled it here spiritually, and showed him doing miraculous things that nobody else could do. Nobody. Okay. And actually, this is what Satan tried to tempt him of. He said, why are you doing all this stuff? Why are you living in poverty? Why are you sacrificing yourself? Why do you suffer when you can just rule the world? And Jesus told him to get out of here, get lost, go away. Don't try to teach me anything, because he would not do anything that would post itself to his vanity. Nothing. And so he had to suffer to show that 100% he was at that time human. You put me on the cross. You scourge me. You torture me. You puncture me with a spear. I'm going to bleed. I'm going to hurt. I'm going to die because I'm human. So he had to demonstrate beyond any question whatsoever that he was human. And then transcend. Then people start getting the idea, oh my word, he's talking about us. You mean we have that ability? You see, there's the sequence. That's why he gave thanks before a miracle, because it wasn't him. It was God. He made that very clear. It may seem like I got a little off track for today's message, but not really. Not at all. Actually, I had to give you a little bit of shock and awe in order for us to really get on track today, because this is going to be the final presentation from him about the power of motion. And I'm going to give you another little piece of shock and awe that came in the mail to me yesterday. I do subscribe to Astronomy Today because I'm just fascinated with the cosmic expanse of everything. It just broadens my perception so much, even though I don't know that much about it. I hold myself open to be inspired constantly. But anyway, on the cover, it had this picture of, well, it was a slice of the Milky Way. And what was on it, it looked almost like a stream of water with little guppies in it that were flowing in a pattern together, like they were their little school of guppies, and they were floating together through the stream. Okay, that's kind of what it looked like, but it wasn't. It was stars. Stars traveling, looking like a stream of leaves or fish in a water. And the cover said, the river of stars. And it just transported my perception to something that was just amazing. Because I thought about how wonderful it was that, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I got distracted. A paramedic truck just drove up with all lights flashing. And of course they couldn't be coming to my house because I didn't call, but somebody must be, in peril. I'm going to take just a second to cast a blessing in that direction. This is, quite amazing. The whole fire truck in the direction of rescue. So, just say a prayer for somebody who's next door to my house and we will continue. But I wanted to just continue with this river of stars. It carried me to the point where I could look at something that was ultra macroscopic, looking like something that was tiny and microscopic, like a little river of leaves inside a quiet little river. It was, wow, the great and the small all move. Everything moves, even the, I never thought of it that way. I mean, I thought of stars holding a position. But in this picture, in this forecast, they're moving. And there's hundreds, if not thousands, of stars in a river of movement. To me, that was just unbelievable. Totally amazing. On a scale of who knows how large that would be, how many light years would be involved in conveying maybe 1,000 stars moving in a river. Just, it's gasping. It's just beyond what any way I would normally perceive life. Oh my goodness, now there's 3 fire trucks with rescue material. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry for the break, but neighbors, something's happened. Oh yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, 6 rescue patrollers. I'm going to take a break. Yeshua, Yeshua, we pray that you be with whatever has just happened and to whomever is involved in this. We ask for your peace, your rescue, your blessing, your healing, and right actions to be given always into crisis situations. Yeah, hi Nancy. No, I was stepping out to see if I could make contact with anyone. It's just, it's a hectic situation. All kinds of machinery is being hauled out and people are crying. So, I mean, it's something I just could not avoid without being at least spiritually part of it. And I still don't know what's going on. But we will continue with our blessing because that's a great way to lend assistance into a crisis situation. So everyone, well, I think we've got a multitude of lessons all at the same time because we were focusing upon exactly this subject, and then a demonstration of the subject moved down our street. In other words, there was movement. It's possibly catastrophic movement, but it moved down our street. And we needed to shift our attention. We needed to move our attention into what is happening now. And I think what it demonstrates, one of the catalytic components of movement, is that it doesn't ask permission. It happens. Autumn doesn't ask our permission to move in with chilly nights that turn the leaves every shade of red and gold. Winter doesn't ask permission to present itself with a blanket of white. We are with it, and it is with us. When I looked at this cover about the river of stars, I realized there is constant movement about everything. And it's not the same as change. Change is deciding, today I don't want to use that handbag anymore. Or, I've got to change my bank because this one's not giving me the interest I need. That's change. Change is a sideways shift of emphasis. That's it. Change generates from within you. Motion is generated from within the universe. And it's that kind of difference you notice that causes growth and expansion in everything. I'm going to give you 2 really famous quotes. One is from the philosopher Seneca, Greek, long time ago, who said that luck, meaning good things that happen to us, is where preparedness meets opportunity. Well, what is preparedness other than changing it, everything from cleaning your house to reading a book, getting informed, studying a subject, getting yourself fit and able to handle new situations in life? That's preparedness. And that comes from a recognition within yourself. Opportunity, you don't create. But when preparedness meets opportunity, that's when your life engages with something that is so much better, so much ready to blossom. The plant, the little plants have sprouted. They've got buds on their stem, and they're all prepared in their genetics to produce flowers. But they're waiting for the raw, the warm nights, and that little glint of sunlight in the morning that causes them to spring open. And we tend to not see those opportunities that come to meet our preparedness. So I'm going to give you a sweet quote from Henry Ford. Probably all of you at least know his name from the Ford Motor Company, the man who actually made automobiles available to common everyday people. He didn't invent them. They had been around for a couple of decades, but in specialty creations for people who had the money to commission them, and there were really no good places to drive them because they would startle horses wherever they made their presence known, and people would come out like a parade to see them. So, yeah, they were technically functional, but not culturally functional. Henry Ford is the one who made them culturally, humanly functional. That was him noticing opportunity. Someone asked him about it, if people could have just done this on their own. And he said, well, maybe eventually, but if I had asked them what they would want for better transportation, he said they would have just said faster horses. In other words, they would just have wanted a change. They couldn't have engaged with the motion he was about to bring into their life. So the coming of automobiles as a human phenomenon was motion. But it had been preceded by others creating the opportunity for it to happen. So, consequently, now we have some new motions that we probably need to be looking for, because there's got to be something better. You know, you ask people, well, okay, where should we go? And they would just say, we've got to have better fuel. Oh, we've got to have a more efficient car. We've got to go with electricity. Okay? In other words, people focus on change from petroleum driven to electrically driven is a change. What we need is motion that will come from discovering the next way we move around together. And that will be, whoever has that will be the one who initiates and plummets us into the next generation of mobility. So we're talking about something a whole lot bigger than fuel or engineering or just the kind of change most people are debating, discussing, and often disagreeing about. And it's not going to happen at that level. It's going to happen at the Henry Ford level where, oh my goodness, I got distracted again. They were bringing two bodies out on gurneys. So something major has happened, and I'll have to check on it later. God bless this situation. Yeshua, we know you're there. So I'll get back to teaching people about how we handle life with all of these motions that come through. And this is a further demonstration. My neighbors who have just suffered this will be plunged into not only change but motion. Everything in their life will be moving forward into a different direction. Everything. It's like winter coming, spring coming. This is what we're talking about in this chapter. Yeshua was taking us in this chapter from the microscopic issues we have about change. How do we change this? How do we find ways to change this? How do we find the money to afford this? He took us into motion. And this is a little bit like how I began this presentation to you today, that we need your help because we've got to move. There is a great need in this world for what we have to offer, and I simply can't. I'm 81 years old, a very spry, viable, hardworking 81. But I'm reminded every day that I can't do this. This has got to come from a larger platform of movement. And so I'm open to A, ideas. B, inspiration. C, help. And D, funding. And we can get it done. We can. And I can endorse to you how you're going to feel doing it. I have never had a more wonderful thing to do with my life. Never, ever. And I was a world-class artist, admired, supported, collected, could have lived an easy life continuing from that moment forward in my studio doing what I love to do. But I found there's something I love even more because I don't like the frustration of not being able to make a difference in a very challenging world. And I don't think Elon Musk is doing it. We've got to find right. And support. Okay. I'm not saying a thing against him. He's obviously a brilliant man. And he's got ideas that he really, really supports. So that wasn't stated as criticism, just an observation. He's had several platforms to work on, and he hasn't shown up as Henry Ford yet. So, and let's look at who. What? Who was that? Was there someone there?
No. I don't think so.
Okay,
I will say,
okay.
I'm really glad you brought it around to donations and tithing, because that's not something you ever talk about. And I would just really encourage our community to, see that it's such a confirmation of our faith and our gratitude. And Yeshua telling us, in giving we receive, that's such an amazing paradox. But we have to expand. And if you're new to tithing and doing something on a regular basis, recurring donation, just go to lovewithoutend.com and go to the donations tithing. To do the recurring, you've got to scroll to the bottom of the page to do that donation versus where you just can do a one time. So I just wanted to put that out there because if we're not being responsible, maybe we slipped, maybe things are happening in our lives, but you know, it is important to give to what we know is an important power and truth in our world, and to support this in more ways than just, our money is one way, but we do it all the time. But that is so important right now. And I want to encourage our community to, I really want to encourage everybody. If you haven't done it, just get on there today after the call and do it. If it's 25, 50, 75, 100 a month, whatever you can do is really going to make a difference. So Thank you, Nancy. You mentioned it. You never do. And I wanted to send something out to the community.
I was thinking about my gratitude today, how grateful I am to be on this call. And I thought, how many more people would like to be grateful about helping Yeshua? I can't imagine anyone more wonderful to support and work with than him. I just can't imagine it. Every now and then he makes himself visually present to me, and that is the sweetest face I have ever looked on. You know, I know at times he probably comes into situations with a commanding face, not anything less than positive, but he's focused. He's really focused on what needs to be done. And it would be like these firemen I just watched go into the house next door with their absolutely 400% focus on pressing into a need that had to be handled. And so he shows up with that kind of focus into situations all the time. But I look at him, and he has the sweetest face I've never seen. That kind of faith on a human being before. And he is totally, totally human. Just in a transcendent form, he wants us to know that that's our future. But we've got to embrace it. And we embrace it by expanding beyond the limited framework we think we're in. We think of our limitations almost daily because the bills come, we can't pay. You know, the rent's got to be paid, or somebody we love is sick and we can't give them the help they need. Somebody is confused, distracted. We don't know what to say. We are faced with our limitations every day, and we've got to get out of that. You've got to realize you are so much more. And the only way is to discover it yourself.
Truly. And so grateful that in this chapter, that's exactly what he's leading us to.
We're going to short subject the rest of this chapter just to get through it. But you know what? I think I'll take it up next week. This needed to be said today. I mean, it was a sweeping movement that came through me from this astronomy magazine I got yesterday, when I was just struck by the majesty of this universe and how large it is and how small we are. And yet we can look at this picture of 1,000 stars at the same time. How can we do that? Because God gave us that sense, that ability. We really are children of God, but we don't know how to be that. That's it. We just don't know how to do it or how to be it, and we sure don't want to do it from a position of vanity, because we've seen people try that in the past, and they live pretty pretty disgusting lives just by trying to be God. You can't be. And you know, we've got to be fully human and yet more than we are. To be the love that we are. So I'm going to summarize what we were going to study today. And I think we'll just continue this study next week because it's just that important.
I think that's a perfect plan.
Yeah, I think so, because I don't want to telescope this study. It is really the culmination. It involves, there are four human attributes which lead to the mastery that I'm talking about, which Yeshua is talking about. And Nancy, we're going to get you, let's see what time it is. Well, we've got time. Nancy, we're going to let you read the about these four attributes that are human. And they may sound like, well, you know, we've talked about that in other ways, but I want you to think about them in this way, because they are attributes that make you more than you are, that expand your reality, expand your potential, and lead you into a greater life than you thought you were able to live. So, Nancy, will you just take over and read, and then I will comment at the end, but we will take it in depth next week.
Absolutely. I'm honored to read where we are to pick up today, page 332. The greater revelations of truth come as motion passes over and through the stillness of your soul. If you will only dismiss the illusions of change and rise above the false changes engendered by restlessness and discontent, you will hear the true voice of spirit. Motion is within you as well as outside you. Mastering change begins with discovering your eternal, changeless self, because perfect motion is already being at the point of your destination. Perfect motion causes instant elevation. There are four human attributes which lead to this mastery to elevate us. They are attentiveness, readiness, empowerment, and love. Attentiveness, which Glenda was clearly doing today, means to be fully present, centered in your heart, and aware of everything around you. It means to be watchful and alert, caring and diligent in your attention to life. It means to be in a state of knowing about your orientation to life, your values, desires, purposes, and goals. Attentiveness means having a direction and being focused on it. Now we're moving into the next attribute, readiness. Readiness means to be mindful of your resources and ready to use your abilities. You are in possession of your experience and willing to put it to further service. It may also require more education or other skills than those you already possess. Readiness may require nurturing or improving health, just as you would make an automobile ready before a journey. Readiness is dynamic anticipation. It studies and seeks to recognize the larger movements of change. To cultivate readiness, release all worry, apathy, and any state of mind that would undermine your alertness or prevent you from responding to a new invitation. You have to be ready. First, we have to be attentive. And now we move into empowerment. Empowerment is when your wheel of life engages with a larger wheel of greater scope and movement. True changes will come now because you have earned the pleasure of God's good grace through your attentiveness, your readiness, and by surrendering to the motions of change that are greater than anything you could have personally engineered. To receive empowerment, set aside your self-importance and be willing to receive a bounty, good fortune that you did not cause, that is given to you and many others as well. When the river rises, put your boat on the water and follow the current. The Creator's emotions. Amen. Do you want to respond?
No, that's it. That's it. You see the current in the water. You put your boat on it and you travel with it. That's where change transitions into motion.
And back a couple of the paragraph before we started today, Yeshua says most people are stuck in unwanted conditions because they have no understanding of how to accept and direct the needed changes. So, you know, you got to go with that flow.
That's exactly right. You got to discover the flow and go with it because that's where motion exists. And, you know, it's like an illustration I mentioned last week. Motion is the underground current of the oceans that can carry whales a million miles where they could only travel a few hundred thousand miles on the surface. Because on the surface, we always have resistance. If you look at changes, well, let's just say you got to change jobs. You got to, you've got to change professional organizations because they're not supporting you. Maybe you need to change your location because there are no opportunities there. Okay, lots of changes you could think about, but every single one of them involves resistance and work. And you got to deal with the consequences of change. Motion could be right available to you without doing anything other than observing the motion and letting the motion carry you. See, the thing is, we carry change. Motion carries us. There's a huge difference in terms of effectiveness, mobility, and results. Okay, back to what you were reading, Nancy.
I'm ready. Yes, he said, right. When the river rises, put your boat on the water and follow the current. The Creator's motions are so profound and broadly sweeping that much, if not everything, of what you were resisting will be swept away. It's interesting that we like to worry so much. Hand it over. The motions of God are like rivers that carry you to new places, to fertile valleys that have not been tilled, where new friends abound and old friends are welcome, where forgiveness is easy and opportunities are plentiful. That's God's world. And he leads us into the last attribute of this mastery, unconditional love. Unconditional love is essential to mastering motion and to stepping outside the conditional nature of change with all its potential for distortion. This means that you are able to perceive love in the stillness of an eternal moment above all the conditions of change and individual differences. Knowing yourself and others as love gives you the power of recovery and continuance, a source of equilibrium and an ever-changing flow of experience. We have to practice this, everyone. And there's so many like little things that happen throughout every day. I had an opportunity with a family member the other day, and you know, it's so easy to just sort of find your mind in it and judging a hard situation. But boy, just to be unconditionally loving and holding that to create that equilibrium, wow. We have so many moments and opportunities, people. We really do.
We do. We tend to confuse love with reality. And the fact is, reality really is conditional, at least momentarily, until it changes or transfers itself into a different reality. But for right now, you know, the doors are, let's just say the door is facing north, and you're not going to get through that door by walking south. So reality is conditional. It is. But love is so much bigger than reality. That's where you got to get bigger. Because unconditional love is really not possible for humans stuck in a particular reality because they'll try to justify what they're doing. They'll try to manufacture solutions that feel shared by everyone, good for everyone. We can't do it. You can't please everyone. Love is at a much higher level where it knows exactly what to say and how to say it to disperse any apparent conflict that might exist inside the reality dimension. Realities have to be given a little time to be resolved, worked out, made available, and put together. In the meantime, if they are supervised by unconditional love, it will happen.
I'm fascinated about the equilibrium part because you can always tell when you're not being the love that you are or not feeling the love that you are or that unconditional love that can just, you know, pervade the whole experience. You know, I love that he's like, you know, you get recovery and you get to continue being the love that you are, but you, you know, there's this equilibrium. Well, you're really out of balance. You can always
feel it. Well, it's simple, Nancy. Love doesn't take sides.
Right. Yeah, it's right there in the middle.
I mean, it's easy. Really... Love doesn't take sides.
Right.
Love created everything. Love is here for everyone. It's reality that takes sides. We have conflicts over reality. How will we progress from the reality we're in over here, from the reality we're in over there? And these realities are fighting, and there's a lot of fighting realities right now. And so how do we get from one to the other? We've got to stand very high on the mountaintop and resolve the conflict to the best that we can, because just resolving the conflict will help things to settle out. In the meantime, you don't take sides because that'll just set the conflict in motion again. You just let it settle out, let it become what it can be, and then you look for commonalities. You know, I've never seen a conflict that didn't have something in common, one side to the other, because we're all human. But you got to be on a high ground to look for those commonalities. Anybody who's down there embedded in the conflict won't see it. A long time ago when Yeshua was telling me about, you know, the movement into the modern world, he said, you know, there were actually a lot of people who were so loyal to horse-drawn carriages, they would not drive a car. They wouldn't touch it. In fact, they even tried to make political agendas around abolishing automobiles because they might scare a horse and people might get injured. It's a sign of evil. he said, the consequence is they went broke because there was no more demand for horse-drawn carriages, except in certain special communities like the Amish or others that had just not moved technologically forward yet. So they weren't paying attention to the flow. But you can understand how people could have loyalty to something that worked beautifully 100 years ago, worked beautifully for their parents, and what they inherited from their ancestors. And they want to be loyal to it. They came into this world to love the people who came before. And Yeshua's response to me was, it's more important that you love the ones that come next. And that's when he said again to me, let the dead bury the dead. They had their time. You have your time. Love the motion that will carry the flow and opportunity for your successors. That's where life travels. Follow life and the living.
Mm.
Just know just another example of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's wrap it up, Nancy.
Well, study the four attributes. Cultivate them in your character and practice them in every part of your life. Because of the fluidity of life and its ever-changing currents, all of these attributes are relevant at all times. But there are moments when focusing on one will serve you better than the others. These attributes also apply to each of the powers of creation, individuality, stillness, motion, and unity, and allow you to have a greater understanding or mastery of each one. Motion is an essential part of creation, for the river of life flows on forever. Yet, the heart of man was also born in stillness, knowing itself as I am. You are encompassed by unity, and yet the motions of thought and life move through you. All of these are equally part of you. As you learn this, you will turn from your search for external causes and look more directly for the source. You will find that time is not your enemy, but merely a servant of motion over which you will gain mastery. In this, you will find your greatest freedom to be in past, present, and future with equal grace and perfect integrity and with endless opportunities for growth and expression. The sixth day, the creation of the children of God, has been the day of adventure. It was the great expansion of living, learning, experiencing, challenging, denying, fighting, hurting, polarizing, and moving at great speed in opposite directions so that each may lay claim on a place in which to be. This is now done. You are at the end of seeking to know yourself by external conditions. The irony is that you are always in the place of your own true being. There is a new horizon emerging for mankind, not just a new millennium for the world, but a new era of human consciousness. There is a great reunion about to happen upon the earth. First, it will happen within the individual, and then within units of 2, 3, and more, until all of mankind is encompassed by the reunion. This is the great marriage of heart and soul, mind and body, self with self, and collectively to all in the oneness of God. Because of the illusion of separation, you have come to believe that your lower self is on the earth, and your higher self is to be found only in heaven. Through adventures and experiences, you have stretched beyond the limits of your memory. Forgetfulness has built an imprisoning distortion of who you really are. Truthfully, all the parts of you have always been engaged. You never left your creator, your brothers and sisters, or yourself. What you left was the stillness of your true essence, filled with emotions of thought, feeling, and life. You moved into the experience of change and became enthralled with perfection. It defined you, indeed captured you, for a moment. Now you are ready to master change, that you may at last be free. So you are ready to master motion, that you may at last be free from the illusion of change. The secret is to see beyond limiting delusion. You are not trapped inside prescribed form that has a particular height, weight, gender, and age. You can directly experience your true nature and see that it lives everywhere at once, across space and time. As you do that, you will have the ultimate realization of arriving in the place of your destiny and discovering that you were there all along. When you can move through the past and future and be within them both as if they were now. When your journeys of the heart are as real as your journeys of the body, then you will begin the most difficult, the most powerful expansion of all. You begin to exceed all the limits you have ever known and discover the meaning of compassion. Your quest is to discover that flesh and bone do not bind you. You are actually the embodiment of love, and you are reduced by nothing unless you give it consent to bind you. Each soul is an unlimited presence, freedom, and endless possibility. Your whole body, in every dimension, is nothing more than your soul in manifest form. Break the chains of your judgment and your limiting beliefs, and you break the chains of your body as well. The path that I have given you does not take you toward something or away from something. It is both a practical and mystical path of moving through the infinity of your own true being. This is your path of freedom. This is the way.
Oh, that was a beautiful reading, Nancy. You did a splendid, splendid presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And his words just summarize in so many ways all the sweetness and the dramas of life. There's always something moving around us. We need to be aware of the movement because it breaks the chains for us. And think about this. You couldn't possibly judge anything if you were flowing in a stream of movement, because something appears as different and new every step of the way. And everything you thought about the past is only something that served the creation of a future. In and of itself, it's ready to be dissolved, which is exactly what God will do. He is the river of creation. He is the river of life. And he needed to create no more external forms after he had created the one he would love and cherish as his representative within reality. So consider yourself a representative of God within reality and find your place in that. You'll find your desire to take sides will soften. Oh, you'll still be tempted. You know, you will. Even Yeshua turned over the tables in the temple, but he stayed with his work, which is the work of compassion, restoration of unity, divinity, and sacredness. So we'll touch on this again because it's so important to complete this chapter with reverence and thoughtfulness. I think Palm Sunday will be a great energy and time to do that, because the importance of Palm Sunday in his life was to re-enter Jerusalem and to re-enter the temple, to re-enter the tradition of Judaism. everything he had come to be with and also transcend, to honor and also lift up, to embrace with his destiny and his ultimate triumph. So entering Jerusalem and being anointed with that is just a beautiful energy for us wrapping up his teaching about the way. So
terrific.
Be with us next week, and I'll be sure to make an announcement so you'll know what we're doing, and then we'll be here for our Easter service. And after that, well, it's a wide open world of topics we may want to take up, and we'll consider them all. So just feel free to share what your ideas are. We love it.
I love that. And Brenda, we have a few minutes here, and we have a couple callers. I'm going to open up our first caller. There we go. Is that you, Stormy? And then I believe we have Carolyn.
Glenda, I wish to mention about when I asked you and said to you that one day Michael will come through without a sword. And a while ago, you showed me how Michael came through without a sword. And if you ever want to talk about that, I bring the invitation.
Okay. Well, I'll write that down. You might want to write me too, right? Ask a blessing.
Yes.
And thank you, Stormy. Thank you. And, you know, Nancy, we don't have a lot of time. We are running out of time, actually.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Carolyn. Open Carolyn's line. Let her say hi.
Okay, let's go to that. Let's see, Caroline.
Hey.
Caroline, your line is open.
Great. Well, thank you, Glenda, for an amazing teaching today, and Nancy for some wonderful reading. I'll just be very brief. I'd like to ask for two blessings. One is for the whole of the Hawaiian Islands. We have been suffering from extreme high winds and monsoon-style rains, major issues, major flooding, major problems for a lot of people here on these islands. And they definitely need some blessings, and we need this rain to stop and all the flooding to abate and everything to hopefully go back to a more normal state for us here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know one who really can calm the storm. So we're going to ask him to do something about it.
Yes, because we've had a hell of a lot of change in motion going on here the past
couple of
weeks.
I know.
And then the second one is just
God bless you.
Yes, and God bless everybody on these islands and anybody in the whole of the U.S. who've been dealing with very difficult weather conditions. So I just would like a blessing for a situation that I've had. I think I spoke to you on the phone about this sometime earlier with a neighbor that I'm having some issues with.
Yeah.
She's one of the reasons why she's being very, very reactive is her life is sort of in a shambles. She's got major health problems. She has problems with her son, with her husband's work, all kinds of things happening at once. And I thought I had a resolution, but after talking to her son, she sort of that all went into tatters. And so I'm trying to see where we're going forward for that. But I think she needs blessings as much as anybody else here to resolve her life situations, her resolve, her health problems, and we need to have some blessings to be able to have friendship rather than enmity across the way when we're actually neighbors. So that was what I thought I had created, but once her son came for a visit, that she got back into sort of angry, reactive mode again. So we have to see where that's going to be going, You know, life is always a work in progress. You think you have something sorted. You think you've asked forgiveness for anything you might have done wrong and had a good interchange with somebody, and it's fine. And then the next day, everything is different. That's change. But what I need is some motion.
Yes, it is. Look for that. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for your support and your kindness.
And many blessings to you and your life, your neighbors, and Hawaii.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Nancy, can you close our chat line?
Yes, I can.
All right. Now is the time. I want you to find that peace within. Find a quiet place within yourself. No matter how much the winds are blowing in your life, find where they become stilled. In your heart, in your soul, and you can just say to yourself, I am, and this too will pass. Or this too will be fulfilled. This too will not be forgotten. I am part of the solution. I am part of the fulfillment. I am part of the peace. I have come to serve with my heart and my life the fulfillment of God's work on this earth. And I give myself into that peace that I may receive the blessings of that peace. Be in that place. Be open to receive the presence of the Lord. His presence is the answer. For him, he doesn't have to do anything. He's going to be present with you because you're open, you're willing to receive. You're able, through your faith, to receive the blessing. Now, as you find that stillness within yourself, I want you to stand and stretch your arms or your legs just a little bit. So, or twist your torso just a little bit so you have motion moving through your body. If you can't stand, then you find something that can, your fingers are enough. You actually would be surprised how much finger movement can activate total body movement. Every part of your body is connected, and the movement in any part can trigger total body change. This is why so many hand movements can actually be a healing and can actually be the answer you need to a situation. Putting your hands into a peace mode can bring peace in your life. So there's always something to your physical person that you can use to activate. Move your feet up so you stretch your calf. Your calf is actually an important extension of your heart. Just think of it this way. Your heart is all muscle. It's all muscle. And the most important muscle in your lower body is your calf. So move your feet up so you stretch your calf, and then point your toes so that you relax your calf. Okay? And now again, you're flexing your calf, and that's moving everything through your whole body, including your lymphatic fluids for your immunity. Now I want you to tap your chest close your fist, and with your knuckles gently. It doesn't not enough to hurt yourself. Just gently tap your sternum. Just tap it, and you will stimulate movement throughout your whole body of your lymphatic system. This is really I bet already you've got fresher focus, brighter eyes. Now I want you to just be in this state with the peace of your inner being and be open to the prayer I offer to Yeshua, because he says we must ask, and you're going to follow it with your prayer while the blessing givers and I conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit to you. It's there for you always, but remember what he taught us in this chapter. You must be attentive in order to receive. You must be open and focused in order to receive. This is no different than the Wi-Fi on your television set or your computer or any other digital receiving instrument. There's signals all around, but you can't receive them because they may belong to your neighbor or someone just passing in the vicinity. You've got to activate the ones belonging to you. And that's where your attention has to come in. And your preparedness, which means that you're aware of your needs. You're aware and holding in faith the fact that there is a solution and a recovery from all things. All things are possible for God. All things are possible. And so, just be still now. I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. Oh Lord, we come in humility to be at your feet, to learn from you, to receive from you, to be touched by you, to be loved by you. We know that you give us the blessing of your love all the time, but we are here to focus upon it, receive it, and be grateful. We thank you with all of our heart before we receive that you love us so much, that you want the best for us and will settle for nothing less than the best for us. If there's a lesson we need to learn, then let us have the lesson revealed so we can focus upon it, apply ourselves to learning that lesson, and apply ourselves to receiving your grace, your love, and all that you offer us all the time. We come here on behalf of all humanity that they may receive your blessing, even though they're not aware or alert, perhaps, to be here at this moment. They may be distracted by troubles in their life or in the world. Let them find a place and a peace to connect with you, that their life may be touched by your grace, your love, your power, and your ability to remind us all that we are so much more than whatever condition we are immersed into. We thank you for being with all of us and helping us to see ourselves in unison with one another. And we thank you for the children, the kids that are our future, that are the spirit of God among us, that are the spirit of innocence in our presence. We thank you. And we add them to our blessing list. Just be with them. Help them find the best that they are and the best they can seek. And remember to look up and hold their life with a spirit of faith, facing a future that will bring them what they need and everything they need to fulfill their life. And now we just surrender into receiving the blessing of the Holy Spirit, anointed with your love and carried with the grace of God. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now as we conduct this blessing for everyone?
Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, the next step is for you to rest into the blessing. I want you to find a place that you can rest horizontally. Your bed, a sofa, mat on the ground, wherever, but be horizontal. Be quiet and restful in your silence. Don't even continue your prayer, because the words will take it to your mind. Your mind will try to figure it out. And what's been given to you is something the mind cannot figure out, cannot even conceive. Be still, be open, and receive your blessing. I wish you a wonderful week. And I look forward to being with you again next week to enjoy the blessings of our community and our opportunity to share blessings with the world. Bye-bye for now. God bless you always, as He will.